Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the recorded morning service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for the 11th of April. The service today is led by one of St Andrew's lay preachers, Mrs Betty Ntoho Anankora.
We have been freed. Fear and death have no claim on us. Christ the Lord is risen. Even though we have not touched his wounded hands, yet we believe. Even though we have not heard him speak our names, yet we believe. Let us celebrate God's love through the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first hymn, Before the Throne of God Above.
Let us pray. Lord of resurrection surprises, open our hearts this day to the presence of Jesus Christ. Erase our excuses for unbelief and exchange them for strong witness to the power of your mercy and love. Give us courage and challenge us to walk the path of discipleship, knowing that Jesus goes before us, leading and guiding our steps. In his name we pray. Amen. Patient Lord, you wait for us to understand. You wait for us to remove the blinders of prejudice, fear, unbelief, and confusion. You have offered to us the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We sang and celebrated last Sunday, but a week has passed and we have slid back into our old ways of perceiving your love and your presence. Shake us up, Lord. Shake us up and cause us to look with new eyes on our Savior, who came that we might have life abundantly, serving all who are in need. Forgive our stubbornness and our complacency. Reach out to us so that we may reach out with healing love to others. For we pray this in our Lord's name. Amen. Let the stone of ignorance, stubbornness, and fear be rolled away from your heart. Celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Know that his love is poured out for you, for your healing. Be at peace and rejoice. Amen. Now let us pray as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing our second hymn for today. We are marching in the light of God.
We are moving, moving, we are marching, marching, we are marching, oh, oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, oh, oh, we are marching in the light of God.
Good morning. I have three things in front of me. The first one is a stone, then there's an egg, and lastly, a rabbit. It isn't a real rabbit because I can't run fast enough to catch one, so a stuffed rabbit will have to do. I wonder if anyone can tell me what these three things, a stone, an egg, and a rabbit, remind you of, and I'll give you a clue. Think back a week. Did I hear someone say Easter? Well, of course I didn't because I recorded this yesterday, but I'm sure some of you know the answer. But why are these objects about Easter? Let's start with the easy one, the stone. Can you think where a stone appears in the Easter story? Well, that's not difficult, is it? When the two Marys went to visit the cave where Jesus was buried, the stone which had been blocking the doorway had been rolled away. I've been to Jerusalem and seen a cave said to be like the one Jesus was laid in. It isn't a natural cave. Someone has carved it out of the soft rock, and it's about the size of a large double bed. The entrance is quite small. I had to bend down and keep my elbows in to pass through it. So although the stone that blocked it was much bigger than the one I have here, it could probably be moved by two or three strong people. So that's the stone, but what about the egg? When I was young, on the day before Easter Day, we used to hard-boil eggs and colour the shells. Then, on Easter Day in the afternoon, we took them to a hillside and rolled them down until they cracked, and then we could eat them. You had to be careful climbing up the hill because sometimes an egg would come rolling and bouncing down and hit you on the head. So that's one reason for the egg. It reminds us of the stone that was rolled away. And the tradition of painting eggs goes back to the early days of the church, and maybe even earlier than that, because the Jews traditionally ate an egg with their Passover meal, and maybe Jesus ate an egg with the disciples at his last meal with them. It was the Christians, though, who started colouring the eggs, originally red, to symbolise Jesus' blood. But there is another meaning to the egg, and we'll come to that in a minute, after we've thought about the rabbit. When I was young, we didn't know about the Easter Bunny, but when I was 13, I went on a school exchange to Germany at Easter time. On Easter Day, the family I was staying with said we were going to look for something called a Kaninchen. Now, I'd only been studying German for a year, and that wasn't a word I had learned, so I was a little puzzled by what we were looking for. But I followed the family out to the garden and soon found that we were searching for eggs, both real and chocolate, and also Kaninchen, which turned out to be rabbits. The German custom of the Easter rabbit spread to the United States about 100 years ago and now seems to have arrived here. But why a rabbit? It seems that nobody knows for certain, but there is a suggestion which makes some sense. Easter is when Jesus came back to a new life, and that event is one of the most important Bible events for Christians. Eggs are another symbol of new life. If you let an egg hatch, out pops a new chicken. And rabbits are well known for having lots of babies in the spring, so there's another connection with new life. And while nobody is very sure where the word Easter comes from, it gave its name to the direction east, which is where the sun rises and brings a new day to the earth. Some of you will be going back to school in a few days. Just suppose that when you go back, someone comes into the classroom and says, "There's been a change of plan. We're not going to teach you anymore. Instead, you must go out to the whole world and tell them what you've learned. Well, I don't suppose that will happen, but that's what did happen to the disciples. On Thursday, they were the pupils of Jesus, but by Monday, they realized they had to go and tell the world all about him. And 2,000 years later, that's what we are told to do as well. So remember that next time you eat an egg.
A reading from 1 John chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 2. The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Amen.
Our third hymn for today, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Our message for today is based on the reading we have just heard, John 20, verses 19 to 31. A message of peace. Why do we do things? How many keys have you got in your pocket? Probably a door key, a garage key, or a car key, and even a church door key. Why do we carry these keys? So that we can get into our car, house, garage, or church. I'm sure we all know what happens when we lose a key. There's often confusion and panic because we just can't get to the next step that we need to take. In today's reading, we heard about the key to John's gospel. John tells us why he wrote his gospel. In verse 31, we heard, "These are written that you may believe that Christ is the Lord, that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." The scene of John 20, 19 to 29 takes place on the evening of the same day that Mary Magdalene experienced Jesus' resurrection, as in John 20, 11 to 18. Instead of being outside the tomb, however, the disciples are hiding inside behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus suddenly appears to them in spite of the locked doors and greets them, "Peace be with you." After he shows them his wounds, they rejoice that they saw the Lord. At this point, Jesus repeats his greeting, "Peace be with you." This time, however, the greeting is a prelude to his commissioning. He sends out the disciples as God sent him. And as God breathed the Spirit into the human in Genesis 2, so Jesus breathes on the disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit. Along with the Holy Spirit comes the authority to forgive sins or retain them. Thomas was not with the other disciples when all of this was happening, so they report to him what has happened, using the same language that Mary had earlier used. "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas claims that he himself must see the wounds and touch them before he believes. So a week later, when Jesus appears in the house again, he greets the disciples with, "Peace be with you." And when he shows Thomas his wounds, offers to let him touch them, and says, "Do not doubt, but believe." At this point, Thomas goes further than anyone else in the narrative of the fourth gospel by calling Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus' response is, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Indeed, in light of the fact that the beloved disciple, Mary, and the disciples behind closed doors all believe because they have seen, we probably need to look for a more sympathetic interpretation of Jesus' response to Thomas. Jesus' response or reply is not a rebuke to him so much as it is an affirmation of the readers. When preachers ask people to identify with Thomas, they are inviting them to recognize that we do not all experience the resurrected Jesus in the same way or at the same time, but that Jesus comes to us nevertheless. Thus, we can experience the resurrection even in our current circumstances. During this season of social distancing, many of us listening to our sermons online may feel a sense of loss in not having the same experience of Easter as we have known in the past. Coming together, singing "Christ the Lord is risen today." However, the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ testifies that Christian existence has a significance that extends beyond the limits that usually define human existence. The limits beyond time, space, and even death. And indeed, that significance extends beyond the limits on the life we are experiencing during the pandemic as we face isolation, economic struggles, possible illness, and even death. Jesus' declaration of peace when he joins the disciples in the room is an opportunity to share that peace always accompanies the presence of Jesus. The church acts, but not randomly, speaks, but not frantically, prophesies, but not chaotically. All is guided by the Spirit of peace. Secondly, Jesus is breathing on his church, granting them the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. His church now has his authority to forgive sins, and from now on will act in his name. The apostles are made co-laborers with Jesus in sanctifying the world, a great responsibility and an exciting mission. The story is in John to highlight that the Holy Spirit must be received from Christ in faith. Thomas's skeptical disposition divides him from his brother apostles. They have put together all of the facts that Thomas refuses to acknowledge or connect. That is, Jesus's explicit foretelling of his resurrection, the fulfillment of the scriptures in their sight. All this Thomas sets aside until he is given a personal sign which the Lord graciously grants him. The proper behavior of the believer, perhaps, is to open their eyes of faith and waste no time falling at the feet of Jesus, confessing, "My Lord, my God." On this second day of Easter, second Sunday of Easter, what is written in John's Gospel calls our attention to the wounds and traumas inscribed on Jesus' body. John invites us to see the life Jesus has given to the world in the midst of wounds, pains, and traumas. John's story goes on to recount that the disciples return home to Galilee again. They once again fail to see Jesus, but most significantly, the risen Christ appears to them again. Then John writes the resurrection message of comfort and peace in and for the troubled and wounded hearts of God's people. John 14:27 reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Today and tomorrow, our pain and sorrow may turn into joy. Peace be with you, and may the Lord add his blessing to the hearing of his holy word. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, which is by Stuart Townend, "All My Days."
And now our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Eternal, everlasting God, you are eternally patient with us, and no matter what we do, you persevere with us. For those who struggle to accept the Easter message of resurrection, for those who long to have faith but miss the final step, who long to see Jesus but doubt what they see, who long to hear your word but grasp only a muffle and murmur, who yearn to feel your presence but shy away from contact, for those who need convincing of the truth in an age of fake news and skewed views, God, in whom we believe, bless them. For those whose health and well-being teeter on the edge of uncertainty or insanity, pain, disfigurement and anguish. For those living with COVID in all its forms, immediate and long term. For those whose treatment is delayed and who are ground down by the mental and physical pain that can't yet be treated. For those who live with darkness and dread, bombarding their waking moments. God, in whom we believe, bless them. For those without meaning and purpose in their lives, who wake to the morning light and dread the empty day that lies ahead. For those who dread the dark nights of wakefulness, tossing and turning. For those who feel there is no hope for tomorrow, no vision for the future, no plan for their lives. For those without a stable home life, without meaningful work and prospects. God, in whom we believe, bless them. For those without the shelter of a home, with no roots to a place, who are constantly forced to move on, change direction through war or violence, political unrest, prejudice, religious hatred, and so much more. For those who seek refuge in new places and new lands, with new languages and new norms. God, in whom we believe, bless them. For the countries who make news headlines and then slip from view with little changed. For the people of Myanmar, Mozambique and Ethiopia, whose struggle goes on to keep life together against so much hatred, prejudice, greed and violence. We cannot imagine or comprehend the lives these people are forced to live, the challenges they face, the fragility and fear and destitution of their lives. God, in whom we believe, bless them. For those who are victims of modern slavery, who are all but imprisoned, abused, made to feel worthless, undervalued, inhuman, who are frightened and bewildered and a long way from home, family and support. God, in whom we believe, bless them. For those areas in our country where unrest and unhappiness with government plans or police tactics or religious divides brings people out onto the streets in protest. For those who want to peacefully make their stand, but who are overtaken by the violent few who up the ante and go armed for violence. For those who perpetrate the unrest, that they may be helped to see that violence is not the answer and will often only fuel more problems. For those who make plans and laws and those who need to police society, may they and we seek unity, purpose and love. God, in whom we believe, bless them. The disciples gathered behind closed doors, not only for fear of the Jewish authorities, but they gathered to grieve the loss of their friend, their leader, their visionary, their Lord. We pray for all those who mourn the loss of family or friends, and especially those who have had to grieve alone in these COVID times, without the support of those who love them. May the gentle easing of restrictions and the lengthening of the days bring them light and hope for the life ahead. We pray especially for the royal family, as they and our country mourn the death of your servant Philip. We thank you for his long life, for his dedicated support of his wife, Her Majesty the Queen, and for his service to Commonwealth and nation. We thank you for the Duke of Edinburgh Award, for the work of the World Wide Fund for Nature, and for so many causes he inspired and supported. We thank you for what he has meant to each one of us. We pray for those who will miss him most deeply, that they may find comfort and hope. We celebrate and affirm our faith and his, that death is defeated, that new life awaits, and creation is renewed in Christ. These are our prayers this day. Amen.
Let us sing our final hymn for today, the Day of Resurrection. Lord of mercy, be with us as we go from this place today. Fill our lives with your love. Help us to bring the good news of hope and peace wherever we go. Let us truly be people of the resurrection, the Easter people. Amen.
Azamalami kara, azamalami zaparama, parama, parama.
Mana kina masa, mana kina dasa de, mana kina masa.